Five, consider and take possible action on, I'm sorry, item six. Consider and take possible action on request from DSA regarding deputy sheriff fixed term position and whether or not they should be included in retirement system. Jim, good morning.
Good morning. Jim Bickert, labor rep with Range Lucia Stern, representing the Deputy Sheriff's Association. The DSA comes before the board today to request that the board consider reallowing the deputy sheriff recruit classification to be members of SOCERA. The deputy sheriff recruit classification was at one time members of SOCERA, actually safety members of SOCERA. In 2004, because of a side letter between the DSA and the county, those recruits were no longer members of SOCERA. I, to be honest, I'm not really sure why that happened. I've heard rumors, but I'm not really sure the exact reason. During my term as president of the DSA, I never realized that they weren't members of SOCERA. The issue never came up to me. President Westerman, who's here today, never realized this. The issue never came up to him until this year. And so we went back and looked at why this happened, and we got a little bit of the history on it, which I've explained in my letter, so I won't bore you much longer on that. I just want to hit on some high points that I think the board needs to hear. I think part of the confusion regarding why we got an initial response that SOCERA would not allow these folks to be members of the Retirement Association again is because Human Resources has attached the term fixed term to the classification. So it reads Deputy Sheriff Recruit Fixed Term. It could give folks the belief that maybe this is a temporary position. And so I just want to touch on the differences between fixed term and temporary. A temporary employee is somebody who's expected to fill a short-term gap in staffing, that they will not be here for an entire career. They're hourly employees. They're not benefited. They're not members of a union. They're temporary. Fixed term doesn't refer to how long we expect these employees to be here. Fixed term refers to how long we expect these employees to be in that classification. It is true, it is accurate, that the amount of time these employees will be in the deputy sheriff recruit classification is fixed. However, once completing the academy, these employees will automatically become deputy sheriffs. They're hired before they go into the academy as deputy sheriffs. They go through the entire testing process required of a deputy sheriff with the intent from the sheriff's office that they will be deputies. It's not a situation where these employees go through the academy, complete it, and then apply to become members of the sheriff's office. They're already hired. They're full-time, they're salaried, they're benefited, and they're members of the Deputy Sheriff's Association. All indicators that these are full-time, permanent, regular employees.
Jim, can I have a question on that? This is, to me, a very important point. When a recruit goes into the academy and successfully completes that process, there isn't another test. There's not a bar exam. There's not a PAC test. There's not a you got to go do the obstacle course. There isn't some other hurdle or obstacle. They're already actually a DSA member, right?
That is correct. It is an automatic. It's a promotion, basically. They're called into the Board of Supervisors chambers and they're sworn in. That's really the only transition that takes place.
And prior to September 1/04, they were members of SOCERA, correct?
That is correct.
Their psych evals, everything's been done prior to their entering the academy?
That's correct.
Okay, because years and years ago, and you probably went through this whole thing, a lot of recruits would put themselves through a academy and then apply to different police agencies.
That's correct.
And then it's kind of winnowed down to each agency now has their own academy, and,
yes,
and the Sheriff's Department has theirs. So sometimes things have changed over time.
Well, that still happens, Brian.
At least with regards to the Sheriff's deputies for this county, police agencies within our county, a lot of them don't have their own academies. Those potential officers will go to other academies. But for the sheriffs, the sheriff runs their own academy. They basically clear, hire, do the background checks, everything on these before they allow the recruits to come into the academy. So when the recruits come into the academy, they are essentially in training mode for a period of up to 7 months. And then upon successful completion of the academy, they become full-fledged deputy sheriff.
Yes, that is correct. And just to expand on that a little bit, there are people going to the same academy in the same academy classes that have been hired by cities in the area. So they are under the auspices or the guidelines of PERS. And we did a little bit of double checking specifically with Richmond and Antioch, and we found that their recruits that they put through the academy are members of PERS while they're in the academy.
Can I say something?
Yes,
there
ma'am.
Was also a survey that went around the last couple of weeks to the 37 acts and other CalPERS retirement systems, and the majority of them do allow for membership. I wanted to just be real clear with the board during the recruit period as general members, because they have not yet become post-certified, and then they put them into safety membership. There were two or three other systems that currently treat them the same way that we do, but I just wanted the board to know that that's out there too.
Correct. I've asked the undersheriff to speak today regarding the hiring process. He's graciously accepted that offer. If maybe you could give him a couple of minutes and maybe ask him any questions, if you have any. Undersheriff Kasten?
Thanks, Jim, and thank you for letting me speak in front of the board here. Not often do we find ourselves in lockstep with the DSA on all issues, but on this one, we are in clear lockstep, all right? We hire from the application process through deputy sheriffs, and it costs us roughly a little over $100,000, somewhere close to $140,000 from the time a person puts in an application to the time they're deputy sheriff. We would never do this for a temporary employee. These are not in any means considered temporary employees by the operating department. Our goal is to make these people full-fledged deputy sheriffs. I have no idea why our predecessors, both on the DSA and possibly the department, made that change. I've heard rumors as well. However, it just does not make sense. And I wanted to bring up some other things so you can see other positions within the department that are similar. We have dispatchers that have to go to a dispatch academy. They go through almost a year of training, somewhere upwards a year of training. They're full members of CSERA. There is no difference. Their deputy sheriffs are being treated differently. The other thing I wanted to talk about is we don't have recruit positions anymore within our department. We have deputy sheriff positions. When I hire a deputy sheriff, those deputy sheriffs have to occupy full-fledged deputy sheriff positions. They're not occupying recruit temporary positions. Does HR create that position and put it in the system for pay purposes? Yes. But I have to keep full-fledged deputy sheriff positions vacant for these people to be in our roles as employees. And again, we would never do that for a temporary, fixed term, whatever we want to call it, employee. These people are hired. Their expectation is they're going to be full members of the department. The expectation is that they're fully benefited. They're in the DSA. They accrue sick leave. They accrue vacation. They accrue holiday comp, just like a normal employee. So I think Jim has eloquently laid out the DSA's position, and I just want to let the board know that our sheriff, Sheriff David O. Livingston, fully supports the DSA position and fully supports our deputy sheriff recruits being members of CSERA as safety members.
Can you estimate how many don't make it through the academy and hence are not allowed to continue after the 7 months is complete?
Roughly, I think we lose maybe three or four in academy. They're not all our people. I think this time we're right around four right now with this the academy
out
we have.
How many in total?
We've been averaging between 40 and 60 people in the academy. We've had a big attrition problem, as you read in the paper. Some of it based on retirement systems and compensation and things like that. So we put a lot of people through the academy. We lose more people not because of the academy. We lose them after they're here in county employment.
With regards to the classification, either safety or general retirement status of the, I'm going to use the word recruits because our trainees in the academy, they're not sworn officers, so they don't have police. Are they? They're not police officers, so they would be general members of CSERA until they are sworn.
Right.
That's everyone's understanding. Okay.
We would also like you to consider them being safety members as well, because, and from our perspective, when they go through such a battery of tests, they are carrying guns in the academy. They're doing things in the academy that other classifications don't do, and then when they get out of the academy, like Jim said, they're just promoted right into the deputy sheriff ranks.
Karen?
The 37 Act does have specific provisions that tell us who's entitled to be a safety member, and they have to be in active law enforcement positions to be safety.
Okay.
So they couldn't be classified as a safety member. They have to be classified as a general member during the recruit time.
Okay.
Richard?
Let me just, if I think I understand this. The Sheriff's Department has a vacancy in a budgeted position. They only have deputy sheriff's positions. Maybe at one time they actually had a position said recruit.
That is correct.
And they would have funded that according to some, well, there's an expert here that knows about how county funding works, but it would have been a fixed thing and it would have reflected in that budget. So you ask to fill positions, you go down to HR, and are you telling me that they change it? That it, you ask to fill 20 deputy sheriff positions that you have budgeted, and, you know, I think they call that a P300 or something, and they come back with you and say, sure, but by the way, we changed the title?
What happens is when we build our budget with the CAO's office, we build it based on how many vacancies we're going to have, and those are all deputy sheriff vacancies. I don't have any current P300s in my budget that are called recruits.
Okay, but you're saying
so I think what happens when it goes to HR, they code them as recruits so they can pay them as recruits. They put them in that job code.
And I guess it would kind of drift. They do that to you too, Rusty?
No. So are they being reclassified once they've finished the training program?
Correct.
They are being reclassified. They're not having to apply for the job.
No.
And get in line with anybody else. Mm-mm. It's an automatic thing. All right.
Jerry?
This is not a trick question, I promise.
All right.
You watch it.
Don't.
No, it's not true. When the individual has been hired as a recruit, is it fair to call them a probationary employee at that point? Are they on probation?
They're on probation.
Okay. So I'm trying to draw a parallel. If my understanding is that virtually anyone else hired in the county
is on probation.
Is on probation.
Right.
And yet when they are hired, if they're hired today, they're hired as a probationary employee in your department or somebody else's department, then they become eligible for CSERA on the 1st of December, correct?
First of the month following their hire.
Right. Yeah. So they're correct. Hired this month, they become eligible for CSERA on the 1st of the month. So
I have other employees within my operating department that have to go to training, okay. That have to do things just like the deputy sheriffs have to do. The dispatchers are one of them. They have to go to a dispatch academy, and they're in CSERA the day they get hired.
So my point is, it seems like a distinction without a difference. That's what I'm saying.
Well, it seems like the problem lies with the classification, because it says specifically it's a seven-month term position, which is under the year threshold that they've set here. If it's less than a year, then it's not considered a permanent full-time position. It's considered a temporary position. Is that the dilemma? Is that correct?
If I may, I could speak for the board about what the regulations says about exclusions from leadership. I've included that in the memo. We can talk about some other classifications that are similar or slightly different than this one. Is that okay?
Sure.
We operate under regulations that were adopted by the Board of Retirement under the 37 Act and then adopted by the Board of Supervisors. And one section in the Board of Retirement regulation tells us what positions or employees are to be excluded from membership at CSERA. And I believe I have that on page 2 of the memo that you have in your packet. And there are positions that could be temporary or intermittent that are excluded. And so the regulations tells us that in making its determination regarding an employee's inclusion or exclusion from membership, the board will not rely solely upon the term given to the type of employment. Rather, the board will rely on such additional facts such as the nature of employment, its expected or actual durations, and its relationship to what is considered full-time permanent employment. And this particular position is a permanent position, but it's, as Rusty pointed out, a limited duration position. It ends at 7 months. That's when it expires. If someone attends the academy and passes it, then we are told somewhat automatically are put into a separate classification, which is a sheriff's deputy. They're obviously included in membership at that point in time. We've listed on page 5 other positions that are similar to this.
Karen, can I stop you for a second? On the exclusionary definition in the regulation, was that regulation the same as of September 1, 2004?
Yes.
So the same regulation
didn't
was in effect at a time when the recruits were members of CSERA.
Correct. Okay. Correct.
Sorry, go ahead.
And again, as Jim, I think, pointed out, back then they were considered safety members of the system as a recruit, which we don't think is consistent with the 37 Act. So within the county, there's a firefighter recruit and a firefighter paramedic recruit, and it's a similar situation where they are in this position. It's a short-term position of 6 months. It expires at 6 months, and if they pass their academy, then they become a firefighter or a firefighter paramedic. Those are also excluded from our membership at this point in time. There are other classifications that aren't in a recruit situation. They're not attending an academy, that are also short duration, such as the deputy district attorney fixed term. That's not a recruit. They're working as an attorney. But that one is limited to 3 years. It's a three-year term, and that is included in our membership. There's an exempt medical staff resident physician one. Resident, that's a one-year position, and that is included in membership. There's a deputy public defender special assignment position, and that's a three-month assignment that can be renewed for up to 3 years, and that is excluded from membership. And we think that other districts may have similar positions. We're fairly sure that the fire districts that we have, not county, but fire districts like San Ramon or Orinda, Moraga, they would also have the firefighter recruit position.
In those instances, though, for Orinda, Moraga, Rodeo, Hercules, whomever, have those firefighter recruits ever been a member of the association previously?
I'm not sure. We need to investigate that. I'm not sure what their classification is.
Yeah, I mean, because what I'm seeing here, it's just one of these things where up until September 1, 2004, the recruits in the academy were full members, understood safety members at the time of the association. The side letter skyhooks that process for whatever reason for a given period of time, and then the side letter expires. And to me, my simple way of thinking is that it reverts to the status quo, which was they used to be members, they would return to being members. Granted, there's an issue about whether it's a general member or safety member, but that's kind of how it seems to me. So if there aren't other examples of the firefighter recruits or someone else fitting into that kind of a category, I'm less inclined to want to go to the other policy areas now unless they're presented to us or someone brings it to us. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we have to go looking for problems. We seem to have a lot of it.
We like to apply the rules consistently.
Yeah, I understand that.
That's why we wanted to see what other positions are out there.
But this is the one before us, and it strikes me that this one is maybe unique or set apart from some of the other examples just because the history was prior to September 104, for whatever reason, they were members, right? That's all I'm saying.
I agree. I think we should deal with this issue before us. I think it's, I'm hearing everybody's on board. For whatever reason, this is certainly not fair to a member or a potential member of this system. They come on, talking about equal treatment, and they're doing all the stuff, and all of a sudden we say, well, you're on a double probation. I don't know how you have probation when you're on a fixed term. I mean,
it's a probationary.
No, come on. I mean, you're on probation and a job's only 6 months. It's kind of strange, okay?
They can fire them at any time during.
They can do that anytime they're on probation permanent.
No, I understand.
It's really a word game, and at some point somebody had an interest in doing it, and everybody knows about rumors. I can even think of a rumor about this one, but it's just not correct. They are going to transition. They pass it, they become permanent. They're out there doing it. And even if they're not super, if something really went wrong, I cannot imagine the sheriff not calling them away from the academy to do something that was a super emergency because he thinks they're deputy sheriffs. Not to be treated alone, not fully staffed, but I don't know why. It sounds like somebody who's trying to be penny wise, and it's really a pound foolish argument. All right? And it certainly avoids anybody getting hurt in the academy, which there are physical things to do there, so everybody's off the hook. But that's not our concern. That would be an employer thing. But I don't think we're playing a good game with the word language here. I look at the laws that Karen just brought up, the statutes, use the word temporary. Man, fixed term, that's a morph I don't understand, type of thing. A temporary, I fully understand that, and that's not the issue here. These aren't temporary. And, I can remember a long time ago about the deputy DA. That's a 3-year thing. That's a different ballpark. As far as that goes, and different reasons, but I don't know why we don't welcome them as members right when they come on, because the expectation is they're going to stick with us. Do you know what I mean? It's not a thing, and I'm not sure a lot of other jurisdictions don't include them. I guess PERS is the biggest player out there when it comes to law enforcement in the state, but I don't see them routinely saying, oh, no, they're really on probation, we'll call them fixed term, not include them. I think we should include this class. I think we should
motion?
Drop it. Yes, I'll so move.
Second. We still have some comments. Yeah.
Will.
Question for the DSA or for the sheriff is, these are not expected to be temporary positions. Every expectation is that everyone completes the academy and moves right into the next class, correct?
That's correct from the sheriff's office.
Beyond that, they are in a 1-year probation, similar to firefighter permits. Beyond that. Okay.
Another question. Is PERS using the recruits as the general or as a safety?
It's my understanding they're general.
Okay. PERS also does not have what our board has in its regulation, which is an option. Boards don't have to adopt it under the 37 Act. PERS is under different laws. They do not have a law that says that certain positions, as we have set out here, temporary, intermittent, are excluded.
I understand.
Jerry?
Yeah, Jim, good letter, good research. You took a lot of good steps in educating me and this group on this issue. One of the things that happens for me is I remember an incident when we honored a disability retirement to a person who became injured in the academy. And I think it was after 2004, which, and I don't know how that happened, but it some way indicates that they were a member of CSERA.
You know, actually, that particular one, she had been on duty about 2 days in the jail.
Right.
She finished.
I heard that rumor.
I was like, what? But anyway, I will go with what I hear the sentiment being
Well, but I'm sorry, I seconded the motion, and then I was going to clarify, and I think Marilyn, are we, I heard Karen say that they have to come in as general. We don't have the authority to make them
right.
safety members.
Right,
so
right.
Your motion,
yeah, that's
your motion
true.
Is to make them general members, correct?
Because
I thought I heard
no,
you
say that. No, I actually kind of go with what they always were here. I think the issue about whether they're safety or general for the, until... I'm not sure what the magic moment is, but it's not off probation in the regs, because that doesn't say there. It might say about to be active law enforcement, so what is that, one post certificate or two? I don't know. But since we already had it and we're making them safety, I'd like to take a look at that whole issue because I do think that would be a change. And I'm not sure, I know for a fact that not all the 37 acts treat deputy sheriffs in the academies as general members. I do know that for a fact. Okay, some are safety members, so I don't think we're way out of line, and I do think it would be a change from our current thinking.
I need to pull my second then, because I'm only going to second a motion that's for a general member.
And I'll
amend the motion.
And I support your position there because, again, what I heard from Karen earlier, if the law is clear on when effectively they are safety by the swearing in, then that's the law. There's no shade in or gray there for us to use any discretion. Mm-hmm. The law gives us some discretion on if and when we want to include or exclude positions. And some time back, we decided to exclude certain types of temporary positions, but on page 3 of the memo from Karen, the item C again gives us a way out of this situation here, I think, because there are other circumstances around that you pointed out, Jim, that make this a permanent full-time position, despite the 7-month clause. So I would support, I'll make the motion, nobody's going to make it, that we Looks go like ahead with...
I get to amend his motion.
He didn't have a second.
Oh, did
Karen
he?
Pulled back the second,
right.
So we don't have a second.
So it will die if no one seconds it.
And I'll put a substitute motion in then, if you don't mind, Rusty, to support making deputy sheriff recruits members of CSERA at the general membership level until they complete the academy, and then... operation of law takes over.
And it's retroactive back to December 6th, 2011?
No, I don't think it is. I think they stay general for that term, that 7 months, and then when they become...
But that's the other part of the question.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Well, no, their safety status doesn't go retroactive. They're going to have this 7 months of general membership.
Right.
Right.
Then,
but I think Rusty's question was that they'll be members of CSERA affected back retroactive to the December 6th entering academy class. That was the issue that was brought up.
Oh, well, yeah, we have two issues here. So we've got the issue of that one class.
These separate motions too, I guess.
So I'll make the first motion relative to the overall policy that I move that CSERA reinstate their former policy that deputy sheriff recruits are members of CSERA in the general membership category. Until such time as their status changes and by operation of law they become safety members.
Go ahead.
I want to maybe change the language of that academy, Sheriff's Academy members at the time that they become, at the time that they're hired by the Sheriff's Department as an academy member or trainee, that is the effective date of their being eligible for CSERA membership.
First of the month following that.
Right, what we normally would do.
General membership.
Yes.
One thing I want to clarify, if I was to graduate from the academy today, I would be sworn in by the sheriff. I would be a peace officer.
Correct.
And I would go into training. Let's say I injure myself next week before the first. Are you considered a safety member or a general member?
General. If you're a general member,
you're working
during
in the jail, you're training, so you're actually...
You're not an active peace officer. I think that's what right. Karen said.
I'm going to second. I'm going to second Karen's motion. I wanted to speak to it though, because this was an interesting and unique situation. A lot of analysis went into this from both sides, and I fully respect how our staff and council got to the position they got to. And so on this one, even though you can look at the law and the practices elsewhere and here and say that they should be excluded, it seems to me that the unique history here is that they were members up until September 104. A side letter was the only reason they weren't and aren't. And but for that perfect parallel universe situation happening where someone actually told us that the side letter expired and that things had been restored to what they were, we wouldn't be having the conversation. So I think a mistake got made. I mean, we've heard a lot about mistakes this morning, but I think we had a mistake here, and it just seems to me that they were CSERA members. I think going forward, if the motion carries, they will be CSERA general members until they become peace officers. But I think it's sort of restoring order to what was, and who knows the history of the side letter, but it happened, it expired. It's not part of the current MOU, and therefore they should be restored.
Okay, go ahead. Okay, Jerry, next.
Were I to vote, I would support the motion, but I was wondering whether or not the person who might consider either broadening the motion, or maybe we'll consider this later on. I'm sensitive to what Scott said about, you know, biting off too many fights, but I think we're setting ourselves up for further discussions on the other three categories. And council has already suggested that if the board makes this decision and it does appear that we're leaning in that direction, do we give consideration to doing the same thing for the other three categories? Otherwise, we'll be hearing from firefighters at the next meeting and deputy DAs at the following meeting.
I'm going to give them the same rigor and analysis that we gave this one on an individual basis as opposed to looking at broader classifications. That's my take on it.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the circumstances here are, as was pointed out by Undersheriff, they are members of the Sheriff's Department. They're full-time members of the Sheriff's Department in a particular classification during the Academy time. And then upon graduation from the Academy, they are reclassified upon being sworn in as peace officers. So you have this continuum here. In some of these other situations, you may not have that continuum with regards to being a trainee and then transitioning into a sworn officer or firefighter or whatever. So I think we do need to look at the individual circumstances as they come up. I don't think at this time we can make a broad policy decision with regards to if anybody falls within this particular category. With regards to the side letter, I'm not basing my decision today on that. That probably shouldn't have been something that was done between the employer and DSA, and that they didn't really have the authority to do that per the CERL. But hopefully we'll get this straightened out today going forward and take care of these issues. John?
I think I support the motion, but I do have a question, and of course part of the rationale has been that we have been at a disadvantage in hiring members to come in and go through the academy because they're not part of this. We do offer a buyback opportunity for those who become sworn safety officers and become part of CSERA. How many actually do that? Given that, and I'm looking at a very young group that to a large degree retirement is a distant vision as contrasted to an immediate member contribution, okay, that my suspicion is most would prefer not to make. how has the test been met in terms of how important it is for those who have gone through the academy and become members of CSERA in buying back the time that they missed?
Mr. Phillips, I don't know the answer to that, how many have actually taken advantage of the buyback.
Most of them.
Most of them do.
Talking about the six-month academy time or military?
Yeah, they buy it back as safety, time, right?
Yeah, I know. I bought it back.
If you come into the system as safety.
So in fact, they really haven't lost anything other than...
Well, they've actually gained because they buy that time as safety. Because they buy it at the contribution rate at which they enter the
system.
So
we may be doing them a disservice.
Correct.
Well, the reason for this particular motion in the December 6th class being so important is because PEPRA took over after the 1st of 2000, whatever.
So will they?
So they would come in under a different
tier.
Okay. And that's the reason.
A far better
unique in this class.
Yeah, in the end.
In the long term, yeah.
Sorry, it may also affect reciprocity because there's usually only a six-month break between the time they terminate another position and come in here. And if you've got a seven-month recruit period that isn't covered, they don't get reciprocity. So that's the other issue.
Call for the question.
I have a hand up.
Richard had his hand over there.
Yeah.
We have a hand back here.
Good try, though, Jerry. I got to stay.
I just want to be clear.
Just one second. Right. Richard, go ahead.
In the motion, this issue about their being general members, we're going to put some clause. That's how we read the law at this moment, that should have occurred, that they should have never been safety. I just want to be clear about that because I do see that as kind of a change in where we were and all that. So I just want to be clear in case somebody decides that that's an argumentable point.
Well, my motion is based on from today forward because we're going to have a second motion about that particular academy class is what I understood.
Okay. No, but I'm just in our motion moving forward. The reason they're generals
is based on the law.
Is there not peace?
Okay, I just want to say it's based on the law. And then the other thing is, in this same example, if someone was already a sworn police officer and goes into the class, do they become a permanent right then, or is this hung up on graduating the academy in Contra Costa County?
If they're already a sworn police officer.
Richard, we...
Sometimes sworn, I think, might go back to the academy.
And Marilyn, thank you for mentioning the reciprocity issue. That's a key driver for what we're trying to do here today. We actually have an example of an employee who was a safety member working for the state of California. Okay. He applied for a job at the sheriff's office, was hired, went to the academy, was then made a member of SACERA upon graduating the academy. But the break in service was longer than 6 months, so he did not get his reciprocity with the state. And that's kind of brutal.
But he wasn't was he a police officer? He was a safety officer under another category?
He was a peace officer with the state.
Sometimes they'll hire directly. Sometimes they'll require the academy.
Well, I'm just saying we have gotten onto the academy, but we're really talking about the law.
Right.
Okay. I just because there are two different things, what the law says and what our thing about the academy.
Harvey, do you have a comment with regards to that?
Yes,
issue?
I do.
Okay.
Before adding to the motion the classification of general as opposed to safety, and I think Richard is raising that issue, I think, respectfully for the board, I would like to hear more information about exactly whether or not, while they're in the academy, they are sworn peace officers or not, what their duties are, so that we can make an intelligent determination. I'd like a representation on the record as to those duties, so we can make an intelligent determination as to whether they are general and not sworn peace officers. Not active law enforcement, which is what the statute talks about. So I would like to drill down on behalf of the board.
I think the undersheriff can answer that question.
Whether or not they are active law enforcement while they're in the academy.
I was hired as a recruit.
They are not sworn peace officers.
May I read from the record just for a moment, because there's questions about this, and it's in the job description, actually, for this position that we're talking about, the recruit. Deputy Sheriff Recruit Fixed Term, it says incumbency in this class is limited to a period not to exceed 7 months and to those individuals who have not completed a California Post-Certified Basic Peace Officer Academy within the last 3 years.
Okay.
So that answers that question.
Folks, I don't want the board to get hung up on that particular question. They're not sworn while they're in the academy. The classification in the DSA is a non-sworn classification. So we're not pounding the table to make them safety members. If the board can find a way to do it, hey, thank you very much. But that's not the primary purpose for being here today.
Okay. There's a question or comment back here.
Yeah, do you want me to go up there?
If you can just stand up and talk loud.
Sure. Jackie Larekovich, I'm the Chief of Administrative Services with Contra Costa Fire. And I a couple comments. I want to say that our recruits are very much similarly situated as the recruits in Deputy Sheriff. I mean, I really don't see a difference. The mechanism, so I know I get what you say about examining each case by case, but there's no way that you could, you know, accept this and reject that. They're essentially the same setup. And it's called a flexible staffing situation where you can take a position, flex it down to recruit, and then after the academy, flex it back up to deputy sheriff or firefighter, but there's a total discontinuity there. Mm-hmm. There's no break of employment, and they're always in a position number, which would indicate they're permanent, not temporary. And the other thing I want to mention is just that if we're looking at some sort of retroactive motion, that as with all actions taken by the board, that there will be, I assume, then a cost to the employer to go back to prior academies, if that's the case, and cover 4 or 6 months of general membership in the academy.
Right. I think we need to look at that separately.
Yeah. If your department would like to pursue it, if you could just provide some documentation or a letter to the board, we can agendize it.
And if they've been able to buy back like the deputy sheriffs have.
Right. Yeah, they may already have.
Will.
I have a question regarding the law does not say sworn police officers. Is active police member or something along
active
those lines?
Active law enforcement.
Active law enforcement. Question for anyone that's in the academy, being a firefighter, if they were in the academy and there was civil unrest, is there any plan or possible decision by the sheriff to take that member, those members of the academy, and use them in some type of active role? Is that possible?
Again, to be short, of course. I mean, in great situations of disaster, civil unrest, we would call upon all employees of the Sheriff's Department to fulfill our mission of public safety within the county, and that would include our recruit deputy sheriffs in the academy.
But Under Sheriff, you would more likely use them in, I'm going to call it, not forward positions. They might back.
We wouldn't be having them handle calls for service in the street.
Right, because of liability issues.
But they would be doing something for us. In a law enforcement capacity.
And at that point, they are post-certified?
No,
they're still going through their post-certification.
Okay. So Karen's motion is to
move
this
forward.
Day forward, grant general membership under the standard first of the month after being hired to
Deputy Sheriff Recruits
Academy members.
As general members.
So
I think we need to be really clear, though. If I graduate today, I'm sworn, I carry a gun, I've got all authority of a peace officer, and I'm working next week in the jail training, I get injured, am I on a general?
Yes.
Yes.
For safety. Because you're saying they don't become safety until the first of the month.
Correct.
No, the minute, Karen Davis.
Classification would change?
Classification change on a recruit. If they're a general member, mid-month, if they become safety. Do we count them as safety from mid-month onwards?
Oh, because they're a member of the association.
Yeah,
they're,
so I think it's a
tier,
transition
their
on
their classification
that day.
Would just change.
We look
as
at the
of
date.
That day, there wouldn't yes. be a there wouldn't be a break.
Yes. We look
there.
At the date.
Okay, good.
But if you're injured in say that first month in the academy, you're not going to be covered.
Somebody had mentioned the first of the month, and I thought we should be clear that
that's
this is
from
the first
joining
of the, month.
The association from your employment. So you're right. The classification changes.
So the December 16th. Date of December 16th or 6th, 2011, the membership wouldn't be effective until the first of the following month.
Unless you get injured.
No, even no. if you're injured, you're
well,
not.
That's
a member.
Contradicting what you're saying.
No. This is in the academy. You just like any other employee. If you came to the sheriff's department from another agency and you joined the sheriff's department on say December 15th of a given year. you would not be included in CSERA. Well,
until the following month of employment. But if you're a recruit and you're hired and you start doing sworn police officer work in the middle of the month, what they're saying is you just transition automatically to safety retirement.
You're already a member.
So that person in that example, you are covered.
Right. But let's talk about, I'm not clear that people move tiers, which is how I'll phrase this, from tier four to safety D.
That's what she's telling us.
I'm not sure they move in the middle of the month. Let me tell you, people get promoted all the time. There are people who are general members who become a safety member in the middle of the month without this academy stuff like that. And I'm not sure that their status changes right then.
You're right. Accounting and administrative is telling me it's the first of the month. Both the county and the staff is.
Okay, so you pass the way to the academy on the 15th of the month. You're not a safety member until the first of the following month, even though I think the day after the academy, they put you into jail.
You basically carry a gun, you're sworn. So that's my, if we get a situation next week, this person gets injured, how are they gonna go on a service disability? What is it gonna be?
We would get legal review on that. That's all I can say at this point.
And to be honest, and I understand right coming from that, members. But if somebody's been in the system only 7 months and they've only been a safety officer, I'd have a hard time saying that they have paid into safety retirement for those few days. They get something.
Even if they got shot?
Really, there's other situations. Let's just deal with this motion. I'm backing, you know.
All right, so with that particular motion in mind,
I second it.
Second, Karen and Scott seconded. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Now, did you want to make the second motion?
All right. I'll go ahead. I'm just wondering if there's more discussion. But then I would motion that we then apply the ruling we just made retroactive to December 6, 2011.
To the academy class.
September, not December.
The academy class.
December 6th is when the last MOU was approved by the Board of Supervisors.
But
so that's technically when the side letter officially became null and void.
It was not incorporated into the contract.
So it's not an academy class that began December 6th.
Correct.
It was the MOU that changed the circumstances.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
And I'll second that.
Harvey has a question.
We need to make it very clear and put a marker down right now that it is not subject, membership in CSERA is not the subject of collective bargaining.
Right.
Right.
It is not the determination of the employer or the employees bargaining. The statute gives complete responsibility to determine membership in CSERA to this board. And that needs to go on the record right now, and whoever is here from the county or anyone else who bargains should understand right now that's the authority of the board. All this talk about an MOU should never have happened, should not have been followed, and cannot happen again in the future.
And that was my comment earlier. Agreed. With regards to the side letters and the basis for my opinion. Okay, so we all understand that. Richard?
Yeah, in this motion, if it's retroactive back to this date, I'm understanding we're going to make those folks safety C. Is what we're intentioning to be, except we're not, because we're saying when they're in the academy, they're going to be a general member, which would be tier three. And if they're tier three, officially back then retroactively, at this point when they move forth, I think they move to D.
Well,
I don't think they stay in C.
He said the majority of them have already bought their time back, and
it doesn't even matter. Ask Kurt; he's a specialist on this with the PEPRA.
Let's get it. Data player.
They would definitely be in C because they were a member of the system prior to 1/1/2013.
But they were a general member.
Doesn't matter; they were a member of the system.
Okay. All right. So
we're good with that.
And that goes for reciprocal people.
If they are subject to reciprocity.
Well, I'm talking about a legacy employee who was a tier one in Alameda County and becomes a deputy sheriff in Contra Costa County.
Yes.
You're telling me they'll get safety C?
Yes.
Okay.
Call a question.
Yeah.
I don't
good
have
idea
second.
At this point.
I'm sorry.
You don't have a second.
I need a second.
I'll second it.
Well, then she did.
Okay, thank you. I'm sorry. I missed it.
All those in favor? Well, let's just go and take a vote on it. All those in favor of Rusty's motion, say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. Okay.
Members of the board and council, thank you very much for your time and consideration.
Another break, Brian?
Let's take a break before we move on to the next issue.